every third. It was a weekday, and we had this. Oh my gosh, it was boothers, of course, and then like friends and family. So like we had like we were the matchmakers. Shay Amasori was a host one night with his. He had on a give me the designer's name. He had on a Versace robe with lighting, like the lights were down, like red, like you know what I mean. It was hilarious. Yeah. Then we invited a paid for comedian to come on one night and just tell jokes. Like we just were bored during COVID. We didn't have anything
else. Dang, I wish I would have found you back then. So yeah, you do Chit Chat Photo Booth, and you've been doing that for over a year, right? I mean, the podcast.
We started during COVID. It was just came being bored out of our dang minds. Me and Katrina Humphrey, she's another boother out of Detroit. We would just talk all the time, and I'm like, all we always do is chit chat about photo booths. Well, we should do a podcast.
Oh.
Yeah, let's do a podcast. And then we was like, okay. So we created like the logo. We started a community and never made any episodes. So we were known as the podcast with no episodes for like a year and a half.
Oh, I love that.
But clearly we had content because we were always online, live, talking. I mean, it started at talking about photo booths, but we were doing date nights. We had trivia games.
Oh my God, how fun.
We were busy. This was like, I'm trying to think, we had a day of the week. It was either like every Wednesday night, every Thursday. It was a weekday and we had this, oh my gosh. It was boothers, of course, and then like friends and family. So like we were the matchmakers. Shay Amasori was a host one night with his, he had on a, give me the designer's name. He had on a Versace robe. Lighting, like the lights were down, like red, like you know what I mean. It was hilarious. Yeah. Then we invited a paid for comedian to come on one night and just tell jokes. Like we just were bored during COVID. We didn't have anything.
Dang, else. I wish I would have found you back then. I did a similar thing because our state and our county, they got COVID funds. So they wanted to help out small businesses who are affected by the pandemic. And I used one of my grants to buy this equipment. Wow. I tried to do like a podcast, but I wasn't really sold on my topic. And, I knew I wanted to do it, but I really just kind of dove into it to learn about podcasting because I've always really been into marketing and, you know, I knew that podcasting and getting your face in the camera and getting people to see you and build that trust, especially with your clients, you know, it's so important. So I wanted to jump on that bandwagon and learn. And so I actually bought this equipment, but I haven't really used it until just this last month. So it's kind of the similar as yours when you were saying that we've been this podcast without being a podcast.
Sure. For sure. And that was the running joke for like a year and a half. And then I finally put some episodes together. And I had a really cool intern from local college and she would edit and then she graduated.
Why they always leave us? Like my kids, man. I raised them in this business and I thought they were going to want to be a photo booth attendant for the rest of their lives. Don't you want to work for your mom?
My son I was going to say he's my worst attendant. He's not. He's not a bad attendant. He just, it's not for him. He's not.
Same.
No. He likes certain events.
Yeah.
But if it's not those events, then he has attitude and he's kind of rude to the guests. It's really funny. I remember he was young. He was like, maybe I had just started. So he had to be like 12, 13, something like that. And he was doing a wedding with me and, you know, well, what time is it over, Mom? So I was over at 8 o'clock. So like 7:59, you know how those last 5 minutes go. It's like 7:59 and this couple walks up and they were like, oh, y'all still open? I'm gonna take a picture. No, we're done. You should have already been over here.
I'm not gonna lie. I've been at that point. So.
And from the bowels of babes, I mean, he just was letting them happen. And the man was like, you know, excuse me. Are you talking?
Oh, man.
Sorry, sir. Yes, we can take your picture.
Funny. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, and I know that, like.
Around all the guests and he's a great roadie now. But now that he drives, he has an SUV. So I'm like, hey, we got some events. You're going to drop off and pick up? Yeah, I can do that. I love this. This is what I can do, Mom. I was like, okay.
Yeah, mine are the same. If they can just do the setup for me and, you know, even if it's DSLR, sometimes I send them to set up and make sure everything's ready to go and then hire somebody else to work the full 3 or 4 hours.
Right.
And then have my son come and pick it up.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, sometimes that's worth it to me, just so I don't have to get out the door.
I pay him a few dollars, you know, he likes it.
Yeah.
Put some gas in the car, can go get some burgers if he wants, so.
Well, yeah. It is nice when they are low on cash and they text you and say, hey, are there any events coming up? I need some money. So, yes, plenty.
Yeah. So we're just getting into, I'm trying to get out of the streets, hired some more people, technically hire. We've sourced out a few more people and we're really getting into this spot, my photo, and I'm not a photographer. So I've been looking for like college kids that are into photography. So we're testing a few out this month at a couple of events just to see, because some people can take pictures, but they don't know how to engage. And so right. That's finding when I do ask some of the professional photographers to help me. And I'm like, their work ethic sucks. Like they just sit around, eat food and take a couple of pictures. They're not like picture hungry like we are. I feel like they're just, you know, like I'm like,
yeah,
look at that group of girls standing over there. Why are you over there taking pictures of them? You know, like they're like waiting for the shot. And I'm like, no, this is not going to work. I need somebody I can mold. But they
it is all- such a different vibe, isn't it? Like photographers and photo boothers.
Yeah.
We are really about the experience of it.
Yeah.
And theirs is more based on the end result, although we're just as focused on the end result, but that's really not the main thing. We want people to enjoy it. We want, you know, and you can see that through the photos, you know.
Yeah.
At the end, it exudes right through and you get some of the most coolest output or, you know, memories that you get to take home. I just saw a quote or something on Instagram where they said the photographer's role is to capture you on your special day, but the photo booth's role is to capture the guests on your special day. You know, it's really about creating the experience for them.
And I feel like, you know, it's harder to train a photographer on that because they're like, yeah, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I was at an event and I was doing it, you know, horribly. And the photographer came up and he was just watching me. And he was like, I love what you're doing. Like, I'm a photographer, but I love what you're doing. How you're walking up to people and getting them to take a picture. Like, this is real. Can I hire you to do that for me? And I was like, absolutely.
Yeah,
look what you're doing. So it's definitely a market we can work together. I love it. So we'll see how it goes this year. This is I guess we're probably, I did the retreat, and so since the retreat I've had more a need to get it out there more because I'm interested in it. So we've trying to put it with almost every single event that I go to.
Talking about Spot My Photos. Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting a lot more calls for it now. I have a bid out now for it for 3 days.
Wow.
I'm going to get them to get 5 shooters, but I don't
know. That's exciting.
I don't know what the budget says. The budget might say 2. I say you should have 5, but, you know, we'll see.
If only we could get down to the budget so much sooner, it would be so much faster.
Yeah.
The bidding process. It's like, just let us know your budget. It's not that big of a deal. We can, you know, we've got our set pricing for us, but you know, every event is different. So we can't, you know, when someone calls or emails and says, how much do you charge? It's like, oh God, let me go through my pricing list.
We do so much, you know, we do so much. And I was talking to a boother, I was coaching a boother the other day and he says, I just hate when they tell me their budget after I tell them, you know, how much it's going to cost. And they're like, oh, we only have. And I said, well, then you tell them, well, we only do this for that amount.
That's, you know, right.
It doesn't have to be you dropping your pricing for the service. It could be you meeting them where they are. So for $1,000, just, you know, you have to educate them on what you can do for that amount.
Yeah.
So don't get discouraged. Make that $1,000.
Yeah, that's right.
And if they, so maybe they'll find $2,000 next year.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, I used to tell people that on the way that I had my business set up for the first 11 years was that I just put my pricing out on my website. I was in a community where it was kind of behind the times, smaller. It's not a big city, but it's considered a city, kind of rural, 2.5 hours north of Sacramento. So that's like the biggest city closest to us. Not a lot of money. You know, the nickname of the town back in the day was Poverty Flats. And so I knew that when I put my, where I put my pricing was the top that people in that area that I worked with would pay.
Yeah.
And so when I would get a call for like a baby shower for 20 people, it was like, I can't charge less because, you know, it's in direct conflict with my other clients who pay a lot. But it's like, at this point, that's what made me really kind of split up my pricing, where it's kind of like, you know, there's a lot more effort that goes into a photo booth activation where the community is involved than say a 20 person baby shower.
Right.
You know,
I don't even remember the last time somebody even called me for a baby shower. And I was talking to that person because you can get to a point where you're taking any and everything because people cannot define who you are based on your content, based on your website. They don't know because you haven't shown them who you are. And then I was also talking to them about people don't understand, like they want to help you, but they don't understand how you make money. So you need to also educate them on this business. It's not I don't have anything to do on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, and I just want to bring a photo booth and set it up in your living room. That could be your business. If it's not, please tell people about it. Tell how you make money. Like, people always, they don't get it. As soon as you say you do photo booths, they're like, oh, you do weddings. No, I don't.
Yeah.
It's like the least thing I like to do. I don't ever, no, I'm just joking. But that's what they see because that's their experience with a photo booth. So, you know, we see everything. We know that it could be at a trade show. We know it could be at a wedding, or it could be at a bar mitzvah, or it could be, you know, at somebody's grand opening for their business. But if they've never seen it there, then they don't associate a photo booth with it. So that's why you have to kind of give them, well, last week I did this, you know, like, oh, wow. Or they see it and they don't realize it's a business. Like, oh, somebody gets paid to do that. Like when I tell people I do Washington Commanders games and we bring the photo booth and we do fan experiences at the games, and they're like, oh yeah, like they get it. Like, it's like, didn't make sense before. Yeah. I took a picture at the game before. Somebody gave me a print, but I didn't realize that was somebody's livelihood.
Yeah. You're kind of talking about, like, when you talk about like educating your client, is kind of like getting them to catch the vision.
Yeah.
And that is really difficult in our business, in our industry, excuse me, photo booth, because it is ever evolving. And it's like, this is what I'm working on in my personal business right now. I've taken a step back. I've done the sabbatical because I've moved, and I'm now jumping back into my business, but I'm doing it so strategically, and I'm focusing on email marketing, and I am talking to my clients through stories and showing them, hey, I just went to this activation down in LA. This is what this company just did. I can do something for you similar, but I actually have a better vision for you for this. And, you know, something like that. And where I'm going, where I'm taking my business, I don't want to do pay-per-click. I don't want everybody anymore, you know? And I'm in a really good position to where I did move. I'm in the Bay Area, so it's not like I'm living in Poverty Flats anymore. I don't mean to laugh at anybody up there, but they all know it's not easy to make money, you know, even though that is a, you know, special place that has that nickname. Everybody's struggling right now.
Yeah.
With paying their bills, and, you know, even companies, lots of tech companies are laying people off, and AI's coming through. Like, there's a lot of transition. So when we can really communicate to our clients why they need a photo booth and why we are able to solve many solutions within one activation, they're going to start throwing money at you, you know,
yeah,
in that regard.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely
do. Yeah. But we were talking about today, the topic, community over competition. That's what you name it, right?
Yeah. So the chit chat. So you can see how we got real close. And so once people become like family, you want to help family. And that's what it feels like to us. And we do that in a number of ways. Yes, we have a Facebook community, but we also have live events like the Photo Booth Owners Retreat, where we spend 3 days together. By the time we leave, first of all, they don't want to leave. I remember when we did the one in Atlanta, people were changing their flights. We going to go eat. We started visiting. One of the boothers was from Atlanta. He was like, come see my studio. We went to his studio. We didn't want to leave. And so then that linked over to a Marco Polo, where we talk all day.
Oh, wow.
And so you can't help but be successful in your business if you're always connected to your business. So they would say, you know, you get what you put into it. But I also feel like if it's top of the brain, if it's top in your life, like you're going to put more into it. You're not going to miss opportunities because you're always thinking of your business. So that is what I see within Chit Chat. And we also, even though we're in the same cities, we look at each other as helpmates. So I had surgery last week. And, you know, after I would start telling people, oh, I'm having surgery on Tuesday. And they're like, oh, what's the recovery process? And I'm like, you know, I didn't ask. So they're like, are you going to be able to do your events? Like, that was the first thing they thought of. Like, do you need help? Do you need us to help? And I'm like, I might need some help. And then when I went to the hospital, they were like, yeah, like, you can't lift for like 2 weeks. And I'm like, 2 weeks? I got events. So I immediately just reached out to local boothers that, you know, I thought could help. And they're, you know, if you can't do it, I can do it. Like, they were like, yeah, we're there. Set up my booth for me.
I love it.
Come over, and even my attendants, they'll come, they pack my car for me. Like, but that only happened because we have that relationship, you know?
So how did you cultivate that type of relationship in your group? Is there just an expectation, or how did you get all these cool people is what I'm asking?
No idea. I think, like you said, it comes from the head. If you lead and leave that expectation on the floor, then people have no option but to either receive it or to walk away. So technically we're a small group, 7. Come on, people. We need one more person. So we're almost 700 members. Do you see 700 people? Absolutely not. But I would say there's consistent 30 to 50 people that interact every single day, whether it's online or, you know, side conversations, the Marco Polo. And so we help each other. Like, we have a really amazing member, Leah Wells, and she's very tech savvy. We call her MacGyver because she just always has the tech answer for you. She always knows how to fix something. She always got the Amazon link for you. Like, so people just know, call Leah. Like, I mean, like, that's just, they just say it, just call Leah. Next, you know, I'll call you.
I love it.
Then you have, you know, members that, you know, you call. Like, I get a lot of calls for pricing. So people like, you know, Sharon got this call and I don't know what to price at. I don't know what to tell them how much, you know, can you help me? And then I'm like, okay, da 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 da. Or just anything. It's just like we find the best out of each other and then we share. And if I share, then you feel like you can share. We make it very safe. There's no gatekeeping and there's no bullying in there. Like, if you say something, it's not a group of people that's gonna jump on you. Oh, you did that wrong, man. It's none of that. I've never seen it.
And I've never seen it in your group either. And I was just having a conversation with another colleague who actually has a Facebook group. And I said, I refuse to do the Facebook group. I really want to build a community where, I don't want to use this word, but it is important, is safety.
Yes.
Safe other members in the group.
Yeah.
Not just the head. You know, like you said, there's something going on every day. That doesn't mean you're in your group all day, every day. That means other people in your group are
sharing,
holding just as, you know,
now,
the foundation of it.
With engagement in the group, because I feel like we engage in so many other areas. Like I said, you know, through the offline or at Facebook, we engage a lot. But, you know, we have a Patreon group as well. It's a paid membership where we do Money Making Mondays. And a lot of times I will go live in the group showing them like, hey, they meet on Mondays and they talk about marketing and different kinds of strategies and things like that. I should join that too. So I think my
video just died. Keep talking. I'm going to change my battery.
Well, at least you're not like looking crazy because you look like you were just really listening to me and being very engaged and loving everything that I'm saying. I'm like, ooh, you know, because I hate when a cat gets you and you're looking crazy. Get your mouth open, your eyes halfway closed.
Oh, goodness. Let me see if I can get this going again. Okay. Can you see me?
I see you.
Okay. We are recording again.
Take two.
Take two.
Competition.
What's that?
Community over competition.
Yes. Well, you've already answered two of the questions.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the number. The third one is, how can individuals strike a balance between supporting others in their community while still pursuing their own goals and ambitions? It's perfect to go lead right into that.
Yeah, I struggle here. So I don't know everything. I do not.
Sharon.
And
I
don't know everything. And guys, I don't have a whole lot of events and I don't. I've just been doing this for a long time. But that means I can still learn. I still want to get a white label here and there. I can help. You know, like I don't.
Where are you at?
Well, she has enough on her plate. No, I don't. I can work this weekend. What's this weekend? No, we don't have any events. You know,
see,
I'd rather work during the week anyway, but I just feel like people sometimes get into their head that they can only come to me if they need help. And maybe they don't think I need help.
Yes.
That part.
That's,
I do.
Are you comfortable asking for help? Well, you just did. Kind of.
Kind of. Yeah, I am. I am. Maybe I don't receive help well. I don't know. Okay, I'm open. You can tell. I also feel like we're just getting to the point where I'm not the only person posting in our group. I've had people say, or they'll inbox me, am I able to ask a question in the group? Why does it say you can't? Because there are groups like that where, you know, or pay.
I know.
You know. But no, please share, teach.
Yeah.
Educate. No, so we're getting to that point where I'm seeing more posts. I mean, I'm still posting the most, but we're getting to the point where people are posting more and responding. But then that's me too, is am I just putting out a blanket statement or am I asking for feedback? And so I'm trying to do more posts that are engaging, where people can learn more. I think last week we had a post that went, for us, that's viral, where I was just asking, where are we from?
Oh, yeah. I participated. And you connected me with somebody. And I'm going to actually have lunch with him.
And that's exactly what happened. I started to see threads come from each of the different locations.
That was rad.
And I knew people there, I would just at them. And, oh, yeah. And so it was great. So I have to remember to do that a lot more instead of just, you know, putting out a statement. I need to be putting more engaging opportunities for people to engage with each other and learn more. And hopefully they're not fearful of posting their images. I noticed in some of the other groups, especially like the manufacturer groups, they'll say, show us your setup from the weekend. I'm like, ooh, I like that. Okay. And I did that in a couple of groups. So maybe we'll pull that over to Chit Chat as well. So just find a different space for people to talk and get engaged.
I really liked what you were talking about in the pandemic, how you said you were playing games and stuff. That's really cool.
Yeah, we had to get away from that dating game because it got real spicy. It was cool because it was COVID. And so like we had put together a date. Well, we didn't put it together, but we connected two people and they were going to go on a date. And then they would come back the next week and tell us about the date, right? So the girl
lived
in Virginia and the guy lived in New York. And the date was they virtually took a walk across the Brooklyn Bridge. And I thought that was so creative. You know, I was like, oh, wow. I wouldn't have thought of that. Then we had another one. He ordered her dinner to her house because we had
we had
dinner together. I'm like, see, y'all could be creative. Like, we're going to work this COVID thing out. We had some fun. But yeah,
I didn't even think about that virtual dating. I haven't gone on a date in years, girl. Virtual dating sounds a lot safer.
Together, and I wasn't getting any dates. Like, this isn't fun. I don't want to be the host anymore.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah. So though,
what kind of advice would you give someone just starting out today as in their photo booth? Business.
Like what kind of, like what to buy or?
Or just like, yeah, that is kind of an open-ended question. Could be many things.
People always be like, well, if you were to start over, what booth would you buy? I always get that question. And I would buy a DSLR iPad photo booth. It's so versatile. It can do almost anything and you can make a whole lot of money with it. I just love those booths. I mean, you have to go with any particular
brand.
Booth. I mean, yeah, frame. But I'm just saying, if it is a DSLR to iPad and you learn lighting and a good flash, it's amazing. It's amazing. So that's where I would start. I would start with low hanging fruit. I don't know what industry you come from or, you know, where you are in life. As if you're a mom, you know, start with your kids. People love pictures of their kids. Start with people, you know, organizations, church, businesses that you give money to. You know, if every month you're paying somebody, let them pay you. But yeah, that low hanging fruit, start there. And then networking. I networked my way to where I am. That was my first topic when I spoke at PBX was the power of networking.
Somebody told me that would be the best topic for me.
I mean, networking is, it's a skill and, you know, thank God it was a gift to me because I didn't go to school for it. I'm sure you can now, but it's just natural to me. And I absolutely love it because you learn so much and you can connect people. And that's all I do. I wish my son had got this gift because he lets stuff just musician and we'll be out and the guy be like, yeah, so yeah, I was playing this gig the other day. Ask him what kind of gig, what does he play? You know, like, and he's like, what? Like, cool. Just missing all the clues. You know, my latest attendant, I met her through her mother who works at the men's warehouse where I went to go buy a suit for my son. Now she's doing it for me, you know, because we talked and she told me she had a daughter who likes to take pictures. Really? What's she doing? Oh, she's a dad here. She's at home doing nothing, worrying me to damn death. I know I got stuff for her. So she drives. Her mother drives her. Her mother and her father drive her to all the events, which is new for me. Because
that's amazing.
We're ready to go. We're like, where's your mom?
Somebody that's awesome.
One of my other attendants, she was my first client in Richmond. I did her mom's 60th birthday party. And then I posted that I was looking for photo booth attendants years later. And she was like, I'd love to do that. So just networking, staying open and talking to people is another great way to, you know, be successful in this business. But some people are very introverted, can't see it, but they're like, let the photo booth do all the talking. Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah. And I'm starting to see that too, especially on like social medias where, I mean, and I did this, so it's not like I'm judging anybody else, but I did this probably for the first 11 years is every time I had an event, I posted a picture of the setup. Maybe, you know, when Reels came out, I started doing Reels, but everybody's posting that, you know, we do have to show the experience for sure, but we really have to start engaging with our clientele.
Yeah. Yeah.
Face to face. We need to start talking to them through our cameras and showing them what our equipment does.
Yeah.
You know, for different types of events. You know, the reason I say that is because everybody, if we're all advertising the same, it just leaves price to be the only option for them to base off of. So if different photo booths, different activations, different types of softwares, and, you know, I mean, at least that's kind of what I'm seeing in the marketing world myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting more. I saw you did this cool thing. Can you do that for me instead of, you know, how much for the photo booth?
How much? Yeah. That's what I want too is especially with AI coming out too.
My goodness, they absolutely love it. Love AI. We did one for, I don't even know if I can say their name. I had a company last week or the week before. They wanted it and they saw it at another event, and I did a circus theme and reused SnapPic. And
I saw that
we did the face swap. I think it's
it was amazing. Yeah.
When the company that we did the event for last week called, they said, oh, we saw you. We really like that that circus photo booth. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's the AI generator, da 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 da. And she was like, okay, we want to do that for our employee event. I was like, great, what's your theme? Because that event had a theme and it was the circus. That's why we did the circus, right? So she's like, well, we want a theme. And I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, what do you want? Oh, I didn't think about that. I just like the circus. Like that. So I went through SnapPic and I screenshotted all of the options. It's a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That many. When I told her I would do that, I'm like, good Lord. So then she came back. She was like, well, I didn't see the circus. And I was like, oh, well, that was a custom experience because that event's theme was the circus. Would you like me to come up with a custom theme for you? No. Because I did tell her it's a fee.
Yeah.
It's what you have here. And so she just kind of randomly picked some stuff instead of just saying, hey, you pick 10 that you like or whatever. But anyway, it ended up being.
Really quick, I want to point that out just for people who are new is what you did was you pointed out that it was a custom made circus theme. Mm-hmm. And even if it isn't, you just added incredible value to that specific service that you offer. And so, you know, what are they going to say? Like, oh, could you just throw it in for free?
No, I didn't.
Bye.
If she wanted the circus, since it's already done, we could do the exact same one. She was like, no, I want it to look like that, but I don't want it to be the same. And I was like, ma'am.
Yeah.
So they ended up getting the Barbie. They liked the comic one, the comic strip one, and the everybody loves the pirate. Okay.
Oh yeah, that one's cute.
And the it was another one that everybody loves. It's I know you've seen it. It's the like the futuristic girl, and she has like she always because I don't know what SnapPic does, but I love that everybody's picture is different. Like nobody gets. I like.
Is it this one?
No, it's the one that has like the neon purple.
Oh man!
But one event I did, every one of them came out with glasses. Either it was like on their head, it was on their face.
Oh,
not on glasses, but like it was always some glasses. But now I get and they don't come with glasses. I don't know. It's so weird, but I love it. I love it.
Well, that was the whole beta situation was they had to work out those kinds of kinks, you know?
Yeah. So we have one. I'm actually throwing it in. I'm doing a Empowerment Explosion Day for the Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Alumni Association chapter. Look, I'm giving all these names. It's probably all wrong. But anyway, they're doing it for. I'm
writing this down.
Yeah, right?
Empowerment Explosion Day.
And I was like, we could come and do like a pop-up headshot booth because kids always have the weirdest profile pictures. And I'm like, we could do really nice profile pictures for them.
Yeah.
And I figure a lot of people just don't like the way they look at that age. I noticed when I was doing a lot of 14, 15, 16 year old events, the girls especially would cover their face and do a lot of that. So I'm like, maybe they don't like the way they look. So I said, well, I'm going to also bring this pop-up AI generated professional booth. And so, you know, it has all the professions in there. So I put all the professions in and I'll allow them to pick and turn themselves into like a doctor or a lawyer.
Oh, that's bad.
Or, you know, I thought that would be kind of cute. So I'm going to test it this week and play with it and put it on my social media, listening to you content. And so hopefully somebody else will see like, oh, we want that at our event.
Yeah. I mean, that would be incredible for a job fair. I used to work at a place that did job fairs twice a year. Wow. And that is a great way to get the, you know, that would probably be a sponsored event if you're working with a nonprofit, but it would be a great way to sponsor an event that reaches out to the community, slaps your logo on, you know, and gets people pictures and things like that. But, you know, those workforce days that they have at universities and, you know, the, what do they call them?
Career day. No.
Career day. Thank you.
Oh, you can take it to the schools. I would definitely.
Yes.
I wonder, do we need to do a face swap if we're dealing with like kids? Because will it make them look too adult? Or do we want them to be adults? I kind of want kids dressed up like a profession, if that makes sense. If I deal with kids. But I don't know. That might be a face swap thing rather than, but Maybe I'll try. I don't have the kids around. Me and you, we don't have any kids around. I would try it, but I don't have any kids. So
I know.
Like high schoolers. So I'm figuring they look enough adults for it to look right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah.
On Saturday. That's another good sponsored events, because if it fails, they didn't pay for it.
That's right.
You know, but you got some good content. You got some experience. I have a high school I do every year for their prom. It's actually my son's high school. And I love them because they let me do whatever I want. They give me this huge, humongous room. So sometimes I'll throw about 4 or 5 booths in there just to test stuff out with them. Like,
yeah,
because the kids are great, you know, and they have like 500-700 of them coming through. He's like, hey, try this. Let me do that.
Well, you know, when I first started my photo booth business, and it was in 2012, my kids were like 13, 11, and 8, something like that. And give or take a few years. And I promised myself when I bought that booth that I would do my kids' weddings. I will still do that, but all of their social or school events, all their social events, I promised myself that if they asked or if I felt like it was something important, graduation, whatever, that I would always donate a photo booth for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, you know, sometimes when I was going through, you know, struggles in my life, it was really hard to drop those booths off sometimes. But other times I'd use the opportunity, like you said, to test my equipment out and try something new.
Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah.
As long as one of them is a print booth, they could care.
Yeah, that's right.
I tried that confetti booth out on them. That wasn't a success.
Oh, no. We did one.
The long dresses. Oh. So there was confetti everywhere, because the girls would drag the confetti out of the booth. Because I was like, oh, I had one of those big spiral walls. I was like, oh, we'll contain it in the spiral wall and then we'll clean it all up. And, you know, no, it was in the bathroom. It was down the hall. I was like, don't tell the venue the name of the company. Just don't tell them.
That's funny.
It's like,
at least it wasn't them feathered boas like we used to use back in the day.
Nightmare about those feathered boas. They need to have a what do you call those things where the fire, like a bonfire. Everybody,
yeah,
boas that they still have, and let's throw them in there. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
We can do that in PBX next year.
Well, that would be fun. a boa fire, a bonfire. I actually was in the Dollar Tree the other day, and I saw that they have the Lays, the Hawaiian Lays.
Yeah.
There was this, it was like a wall of them, all different colors. And I thought, you know, just crossed my mind, I don't do props anymore. If somebody wants them, they can pay for them and, you know,
yep,
keep them. But if I was still doing props, I would have taken those and cut them and made a boa out of those, because yeah, there's no feathers. They're just really bright colors. And
well, you know, we did during the holidays, we used the stuff that you wrap around the tree.
Garland.
Those were both.
I did that one year too. It's a good idea.
The ones at Michael's, and then they go on sale into Christmas. I grabbed those up because those are great.
Smart.
And then you can decorate your, I used to decorate my tables with those. I love, okay, I don't like props, but I love Christmas props. Oh, I love.
I was just going to say.
That's true.
And Dollar Tree has really good ones too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always get the reindeer ears and the Santa, you know, Santa hats. And they've always got something that's like blue hats or red hats.
Yeah.
I used to spend a lot of money on specific props, but those always got stolen.
Those or broken. I still have my props. Yeah. I bring them out here and there, depending on the clientele. Usually people that have been with me for a long time, they still want their props. But new people,
yeah,
they don't look for them and I don't bring them out. But I'm with you. I'm so over props. And we threw on
some
props the other day for a high school dance drop off. And I was shocked that the kids really engaged and had some fun with that. So
that's good. And they took good care of them and everything.
Oh, the digital props.
Oh, the digital props.
Yeah. Because usually
I see.
I pass it. They're like,
yeah,
none. You know, it's a none. Mm-mm. So now,
yeah,
if you leave them alone, they will use.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
I know. I find that interesting how, because I did DSLR 11 years and then after I went to PBX 20, I actually just recently bought my first Mobi booth, which was in October or November. And that's, I mean, it's not my first iPad booth. I did buy a used iPad booth. It wasn't my favorite. So it was just kind of my way of dipping my toes in the water.
I got my Aura M at PBX. I've been wanting this booth. I'm sure there's a picture at the PBX party where I was, had my legs wrapped around it, so I'm professing my love to this booth.
That's how I feel about the
always love that booth, but I never got.
That's it. How I feel about the icon, and Susie knows it. I'm always sending her reels of, "I dream of this booth. It's gonna be mine." She laughs. It's funny, but no, I was gonna say,
yeah,
it's the difference between the experience of a selfie booth, like you said, if you leave them alone. Mm-hmm. It's different. They'll go all in. Yeah. And it is. It's such a different vibe.
It also depends on age.
Yeah.
Like, they were high schoolers to figure out. And it's so funny because the DJ hires us for this event. And he was like, "Are you sure? Because, I mean, are they going to be able to figure it out?" I was like, "Yes, they will." So 500 images later, they figured it out. You know, because it was two. And there was probably 200 kids at each of the events. We had two events, same high school. They split them up. And it was like 200 each. And that thing was like just.
I love it.
They wore it out. They had such a blast with those booths. And he was just so worried because we had been normally doing print booths with them. Mm. And an attendant. And then, but they're so used to somebody being there. I said, "I bet you they're going to have the best time that we're not." And it's a high school. So these kids have never seen this before. They have no idea.
New is always better.
So. But it worked.
Well, I won't say always.
I want to do more.
That's funny. Well, I got one more question. It's not really a question. It's but more of a personal interest and of what your thoughts are on the importance of empathy and trust within a community. We kind of already touched on that when it came to the Facebook groups, but
you can tell when a group trusts you because of the things that they'll share with you. And I feel like in our community, because we just talk so candidly, we have moments where we're not doing photo booth, that we're, you know, in a city together hanging out. We share our lives. You know, I've gone through one of the worst years of my life. And the only people I really had was chit-chat photo booth.
Yeah.
You know, and so when you get to that level of community, engagement. there's nothing you can't share with them. "Oh, my camera didn't work tonight." They're not gonna judge you. I think people feel like, "Oh, I'll be judged," or "I'll look stupid if I don't know something." I don't know a whole lot. So, and I've been doing this since 2013. So there's still stuff to learn, and there's always new stuff. That's why you have to keep coming to events like PBX and photo booth owners retreat and watching podcasts and investing in education like photo booth marketing and Catalina's photo booth mastery classes, because there's so much that's changing every single year that you have to keep up if you want to compete. Yeah. And luckily, like I said, we're in a group. When people walk by us, this is our first year setting up at PBX. And I was like, "I don't even know what the hell we're going to be doing at this booth. People are going to be walking by and I don't know what I'm going to say."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that came from out of the blue. Somebody in Strong Women was like, "Hey, we have a booth and we're not going to make it. Does anybody want it?" And I'm like, "I'll do it. I don't know what."
Yeah.
So we just, you know, set it up as a lounge for people to really just come by and chit chat and talk and learn about the photo booth industry. And we had a blast.
That's awesome.
Get people to sign up for the retreat early. We've never had this many people sign up for the retreat this early. We talked about, we gave away water bottles. I just came for the prize. Thanks. But
I know I didn't get a water bottle. You know, no, I'm just kidding.
Oh man, I was going to give you things away at the end because I didn't want to put them.
You know, I was so worried about getting a Danny Mac shirt.
I was this person over there. I was like, "I'm getting my shirt and I'm going to get my booth. And I needed it like that next week. I'm like, can I get it the next week? I fell in love with the Roma with the DSLR. So one now. We just got another one. We had an event on the weekend that we needed two. I'm probably going to stop right now with those.
Oh, with the Romers?
No, with buying more.
I'm
addicted. You need a Roma. You need a Roma. But they're so amazing. But I was over there bright and early getting my t-shirt so they didn't run out of my size. But just having people to stop by and find out more and feeling comfortable to share where they are in the business, what they need help with, and then I could direct them. I'm like, oh, well, go down this aisle and go to the right and go speak to so-and-so over there. So that's what it ended up being, more of like a resource center.
You're starting to cut out a little bit. I'm not sure if it's the internet or...
Is it me? I don't see it.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm sorry. Better now?
It's getting better. Yeah. There we go. A little bit.
But the last thing I did, I know I didn't say it when we were talking about the balance in the community. And this is something I want to tell people. When you're in a community, you need to give back. A lot of times we find people just come to take, and they're never giving back. So when you do something good, or you do learn something, or you do hear about a resource, share it. Because I'm trying to be nice. What's the word I'm looking for? You're respected more if we can see the back and forth, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
You don't want to be known as the person that take.
I think that's kind of what I was trying to, I guess, evoke out of when I use the word empathy and trust, and why it's so important is because, like you said, you know, even at PBX, when it comes to sharing products that you may have seen, I said that when I first, I thought I was stuck like that. I said, you know, make sure you share the products that you saw on the floor, because everybody sees things differently. Mm-hmm. But there are some people who were like, I'm not sharing my products with other people. And I'm like, it's such a lackful sense of like mindset, mm-hmm, to do that, as if there's not enough to go around, and I, you know, there's just so much money in the world. You can't,
people buy from people. So my customer buys from me, and I promise you, they know that you can take a picture too.
Yeah.
They like working with me. So, you know, it's not the product. It's how you present the product. It's how you communicate with people. It's how you make people feel.
Yeah. That's good. I did have, when I first started in 2012, I bought an openair.com or openairphotobooth.com photo booth. I hate that I have to say that.
Oh my goodness. You remember that? Oh boy.
Yeah. That was, I think
about that on my
podcast. I think he's still, working photo booths himself, but I'm not sure if he's selling them anymore, but he might.
That's the one I was going to buy it, and I got to, at that point we were at the DJ Expo in Atlantic City. And I went straight over there.
Uh-oh,
I knew
you froze.
I was going to buy it. I had my money. And then he was like, do you want it to be a stand-up or a sit-down booth? And I was like, what? I didn't know it was an option, right? So then he was showing me how they...
Ooh,
that looks heavy. You got to take it apart. Yeah, I didn't think about, how do I get it in the car? And those questions I didn't even think about. But when he started asking me about them, I was like, maybe I need to think about this a little bit more. Maybe I need to walk around.
Yeah.
And that's when I found the booth that I ultimately ended up buying, which was the Limelight iClick. And
so you were one of the very smartest photo booth consumers in the world by going to PBX first before buying a photo booth.
I'm a C-Touch.
Wow.
I'm a C-Touch field girl. And I had no idea. I just all thought they looked the same. I had no idea.
Yeah.
They came in different sizes and shapes and colors. And what was that company? They had great social media marketing, and they were out of Madison, Wisconsin. But their booths were ugly. can't remember. But it was so good that when I got there, I recognized them on site. And I was like, you're the guys from Facebook. I know you. I know you. And they're like, oh, thank you. I didn't buy their booth. But they educated me on what I wanted and what I didn't want. And that was that was key. And I feel like I made the right decision. I bought turnkey because I wasn't a photo boofer. I had no photography skills. I didn't want to figure out how to put a camera in. No, it was all done for me. And they actually gave me a booth that they had worked in the field a little bit. So it was just, all I had to do was turn it on, ready to go.
Yeah.
Put a little overlay.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the one that I started off with. And we had a, you know, open air photo booth Facebook group for a while. And I got an email from somebody who, like, I mean, I had just started marketing and I got an email and it just said, how much would you charge for a school dance? And I answered her with whatever my pricing was within the first, I think my first price was, I shared this at my last episode, was $1 an hour.
Yep. Mine was.
And so I quoted her at $149 an hour. And then eventually I ended up meeting her and she owned the same booth as I did. So she was trying to pick my prices.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. And, we ended up working together and we were friends with the same DJs. Like I said, that, you know, the town that I lived in, it's pretty small. We helped each other all the time and I loved it. It could have been so different. Mm-hmm. It could have been me against her. And it was like, we were both, I was 33 when I first started. She was a little bit older than me. There was never any like ill feelings of competition or anything, you know?
I'm with you. I've luckily found more of that than anything else.
Yeah, me too.
The community of photo booth owners. And it could be because we stay engaged. We talk, we interact with people in the community. Now, I've seen people have totally opposite experiences. I met a guy because he got tore up so bad in one of the groups that 500 comments later, he said, and when I reached out, he said, you know, the funny thing is I got more messages seeing if I was okay than was on the post.
Because it's getting exhausting to jump in. Yeah. I'm having the same realization myself. It's tough. It's just tough. Like, especially it's great to have a community and talk with each other and all that. But once the bullying and once the, you know, when someone even says like, I'm a brand new photo boother, and then they ask a question.
Oh my gosh. It's like, that's the opening door to let's get her. And back then, like you were there in the early days of photo booth, the photo booth network, where we lived, ate, and breathed photo booth network. Like it was like you knew what time to get on because it was going to be, you know, spicy or whatever, and it was like a soap opera. And then whatever happened that night around 4 o'clock in the morning, then the UK people would get on and then they started commenting and finding out what happened last night. But it was just different back then. And I feel like,
well, we were all newbies.
Yeah. And then people got tired of answering the same questions. I get it.
Yeah. I get that too.
Now when I see people like, I just got my booth, now what? And I'm like, Oh gosh.
Yeah. Or what's the best, you know, it's the way that they ask, what's the best software? It's like, oh, newbie.
Or people are now, they hit me up at events. They'll walk up and they'll be like, I just got my booth from China. And I'm like, okay, wonderful. How's it going? You know, I'm open because they see what you're doing. They're like, that's where I want to go. That's where I want to be. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to leave that alone.
Yeah.
But we're open to help. We're open. And not everybody is. So I'm thankful now that there's so many communities. Strong Women is amazing.
Amazing.
That Facebook group. Oh, this is like a godsend because we get it. I used to work with a girl in New York. We were both booting in New York. And she was like, I won't work with anybody else but you, Sharon. And I'm like, why? She was like, because girls are the best. And guys, they just don't get it. They don't get it like we get it. And I was like, true. You know, they just don't. The level of detail that sometimes we put into our business isn't the same sometimes. So she was like, I just like working with the girls. And we ended up going to the first PBX together.
That's awesome.
And still friends now. So I think she's still boothing. She still has her booth. She doesn't booth as much as she used to. She moved across. She's in the Bay Area. Actually, she moved to.
I might have to meet her.
Yeah. She used to own Royal Photo Booth in New York City. And it was like number one. If you put in photo booth, she was always number one.
Wow.
Her name is Laura. And she moved out back to California. She's originally from California. She moved back to California a couple of years ago. So
that's awesome. I think we just froze. I mean, that's all the questions that I have.
Okay.
Was there anything else that you wanted to add?
If people are looking for a fun community, join Chit Chat Photo Booth Community. We don't do the dating game anymore.
I'm out.
We will match you up with some good resources. We will get you some cool people to do some white labeling with, or lift a booth up when you have surgery. We got it all.
Also, talk about your retreats. You said you just did one, and you have one coming up too in 2025, right?
Gearing up for Houston, Texas.
Right.
In Houston, November 3rd through the 5th. And I'm actually going to go down there Mother's Day weekend to finally finalize which hotel, because I'm so many good ones.
Oh, that's good.
One of those cities that people have been waiting and anticipating for, because like, where are you going? Yeah. Texas. We did Dallas. Dallas was good.
Wow.
They have been really hungry for Houston for some reason. So this will be our first time in Houston. And then we had planned to do LA next year, but I went to LA and I'm just like, it's going to be another one, hard ones to try to figure out where to do it. Somebody said I should try to do it near the, City Center? No, Beverly Center? Beverly Center. Like, look at that area. I don't know. It blew my mind. I was like, I need to make another visit to LA. I don't understand it at all.
It's a complicated city. It's the second biggest city in the United States, right?
Is it?
I think so. It's New York City's first and then LA second. It's pretty big.
Super duper confusing. Everybody talked about the traffic. Thank God we didn't fall into it too much. Then we changed hotels. We stayed in Beverly Hills and then we moved downtown. And when we were leaving our Beverly Hills hotel, they were like, you going where? Okay, so don't go out at night.
Where'd you go?
Watch your back. And I'm like, where are we going? Did we make oh my gosh. But they just kept talking about Skid Row and like how bad it is there. And like, I have friends from New York that live there and they were even like, yo, this is, and I'm like, but you're from New York. Like,
did you find yourself in South Central LA?
In the winter too, right? People don't survive winter. Well, they don't really have a winter in LA. So it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Like, it's a whole thing. And he was like, I don't know what they're on out here, but
You're talking about the transients and homeless people. Yes.
Yeah.
What do they call them now? The unhoused. The politically correct
and it's so
way to say it.
Like, I would be fearful of becoming homeless in LA. Like, everything costs so much.
So much, yeah.
Out there, and I can see. And if you're coming out there to be like a star and you go through your drought where there's no work, I can see, a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck. But if you miss three. So I get it. And, so I'm like, I got to rethink this LA.
Yeah. And you might just want to go a little bit outside of LA.
Yeah.
Palm Springs.
Okay.
Gorgeous.
I was thinking.
I mean, let's do it. I'm always down. And I've been thinking about that myself. I would love to do something here.
Wine and boothing. Yeah. Boothing and wine.
Not going to lie. Anything that we do here in Napa is going to be pricey.
That too. But is there a great time of year? What's there like? They don't have a down season, huh?
They do. Winter is definitely a down season. It rains a lot up here.
Close to rain.
So fall is when it's like they call it harvest season. And so basically fall for me in California is the most beautiful time throughout the whole state because everything starts to cool down and it changes colors, like all the grapevines here in Napa turn yellow or orange or purple. Gorgeous. Yeah. And that's fall, when.
Because it's going to be pricey.
Yeah. Fall will be pricey. I would say like this time, spring, that's when everything kind of starts to waken up. So it's like they just start to gear up for, people coming wine tasting over the summer. But, we have lots of weddings from spring till fall in Napa.
Tony Sparks. Tony.
That's who you connected me with.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I was
from Napa. I was like.
And we've been messaging. We were going to have lunch, I think, this week. So I'm going to message him. Yeah.
Good. He's a cool guy. So we met the first PBX because we both had iClix. And
what's that?
The booth that we had back then. I don't think they exist anymore. And I just sold them off to a photo booth in Atlanta. But I remember when I got it and we were there, the manufacturer's like, you got to meet Tony because Tony transports his booths in such a unique way. And I was like, how? He was like, in suitcases. And I was like, oh, wow. So he's like, yeah, I just got these suitcases and what does he call them? Get a little blanket and wrap it up. And this is how I move. I was like, oh, because, you know, the cases back then were so expensive. Well, they
still. Oh, yeah.
The hard cases were so expensive. And also, if you try to put that booth in the case that they wanted you, like, you could not lift it. So I was like, yeah, that doesn't make sense. So they were like, well, what you do is you pack half of the booth, you put the case in your car, and then you pack the rest of the booth. I was like, well, that just doesn't seem worth it. Like, I don't want to do that. She's like, yeah, so what you do is you go get these suitcases.
I love it. I love when people are innovative and do things differently. You know, I think I saw something like that on one of the Facebook posts, and someone got reamed for it. Was they put the poles, there was like not enough room for them to lay the poles down on the ground, you know, before picking it up. So they leaned it up against the table, and he showed like the whole video of his setup and everything. And I was like, I think someone said, there's easier ways to do that or something. And I was like, but if you're stuck in a room that's 8x8, literally,
I lost you.
It's a great thing.
I lost you. You
lost me.
He put it on the table.
Oh yeah. He leaned it up against the table. And I think somebody commented like, there's easier ways to do this. And I just thought, but it's innovative. And if you're in a crunch and you're in an 8x8 room, you don't know what to do. Think about that video, you know?
That's right. People are.
Yeah.
But oh my gosh. That's so cool. I'm glad you guys connected too, because he's a really cool guy.
Yeah, I would like to. I'm excited to connect with him.
I think he's DJ first, then photo booth.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I always thought it was cool because all of his pictures are like wine cellars and. Yeah, I thought that was really cool. And I was like, oh, I'd love to go to Napa.
Yeah, that's who I'm targeting right now is all the wineries. Getting my, you know, all of my email marketing on point, letting them know what we offer and just continuously making advances. I don't want to say that, but getting in touch with
it goes because with them. We have Virginia's known for wine and we have lots of wineries too. I just don't like weddings, but I have an attendant that likes to do them. And so she's going to start kind of doing the wedding stuff for me. And
that's great.
And we should look at wineries as well, because we have so many here.
Not just weddings. And that's not really my MO either. If somebody wants to hire me for a wedding, I would be absolutely honored to be there. Yeah. But my focus lately has been on conferences. There's so many conferences and trade shows that happen around here.
They do them at the wineries? Or is that part of the activity that they do during the conference?
Yeah.
Okay.
All of the above.
Okay.
All of the above. They have conference rooms in every resort, every hotel. They've got spas. They've got wine tasting within their own place. Like every, you know, it's definitely a travel destination area.
I like that. Our wineries are like a little house on a hill.
Oh, I love that. We have those too. We have... Honestly, like I think there's not over 900 wineries just in the city of Napa.
Wow.
That doesn't count, or not city, sorry, the county, which is like one trail of a freeway, which is like Napa, St. Helena, Calistoga.
Yeah.
And then we've got the other freeway that comes out of Napa and it goes west, and that goes to Sonoma County and, you know, the western area like Santa Rosa and Sonoma and Nevada and all that. So there's over 900 just in the county of Napa alone. Wow. And then there's tons in Sonoma. So you've got everything from people making wine in their backyard to, you know, the big corporate wineries. And I'm just really reaching out.
Festivals out there, I would think.
What was that? Yes, we're going to have Bottle Rock next month. Mm-hmm. And that is like the big, it's like Coachella.
Oh, wow.
But in Napa. Yeah. And so I'm actually reaching out to hotels right now about Bottle Rock in particular, because I'm not booked at all.
Wow.
And there's
a
lot of opportunity for me to get booked. So I'm trying to be strategic about it. I don't want to just you know, work with anybody. I went the other day, I walked into this place, it's called Wine Girl. It was right on First Street, right across the street from my office. And it was a Sunday morning and they straight up had Miami vibes coming out of there. It was bumping music. They had neon lights up there and, you know, it's called Wine Girl. And I walked in there the other day and I said, you know, I noticed a couple of weeks ago, like you guys were, it was popping on a Sunday morning. I was like, I would love the opportunity to just be able to put up a selfie booth because they've got like the neon signs. They've got swings with flowers coming up the, you know, the swing. And it's just like grass walls. It literally is screaming, put a photo booth in me, you know, which is what I told them. But they told me that day they did an activation with Veuve Le Clicquot. I always say it wrong, but it's that really high-end champagne.
Yeah, okay.
Veuve Clicquot.
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
The Clico, yeah.
Orange.
So they work with them, and then they work with Moët, and they do all of these like brunches and things for them. And I'm like, sign me up.
Yes, and usually they have a budget for that. So be like, well,
yes,
in contact with who's, you know, that person, and we'll deals for a branded activation.
That's right.
Yeah, I have a friend who just recently passed last week. And his job, he worked for Moët Hennessy, and he gave me my first branded activation.
Wow.
Yeah, he was died on a motorcycle accident, in a motorcycle accident.
Oh, I send my condolences to you, his family.
I can't do wakes, but I can do funerals, so I'm going to do the funeral tomorrow. But yeah, and I was thinking back, and I'm like, he gave me my first branded event, and it was for Moët.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So
what was his name?
Van Ash.
Van Ash. Rest in peace to Van Ash.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that was all that I have. Like I said, if there was anything else you wanted to add, I think we are about an hour and a half. So I don't know if we're going to keep all these people with us. If y'all lasted this long, we are honored. So grateful. Okay. So chit chat. Say it again.
We chit chat a lot. Yeah, chit chat.
Yeah.
So please.
So chit chat photo booth.
Well, we're moving things around. So now we have my Patreon. So I will just send people to the chit chat photo booth podcast Facebook group. And then from we filter out from there. So we always update there first. But yeah. So
and Monday nights, you do
Money Making Mondays.
I don't know why I couldn't
talking tell. About. Sponsorships.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah. Because I was training somebody on, usually it just comes from a conversation. So I was training somebody on sponsorship and they had this organization that kept calling them to do these events. And he was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. They keep asking me to come out. I said, you know why? Because you keep doing it for free.
Yeah.
I said, you just have to train them on how you make money. Once they understand that, then they'll start looking for opportunities for you to get paid. But if you just keep showing up to do it for free, they think you like it.
I love it. That was a great snippet right there. Gosh. And you know what? To be honest with you, if I could do it for free and be a millionaire, I would.
There's certain events I would do for free. The Veteran Hospital, they used to call me
there.
Awards. And it was the fulfillment of being there with vets was payment enough. Let me get the check. But that's an event I always looked at like I could do this every year for free. And I do stuff for free. Yeah. But yeah, you know how it is.
I do. We got to get paid. We need money. We need to make money.
Got bills.
Help us help you. All right. Well, I'm going to head on off of here. And I am so thankful that you are my second guest, not just my second guest, but my first female guest, which makes me even more excited.
We have had for a Money Making Monday or a Topic Tuesday or something like that. So we got to get.
What was that?
I want to have you over to chit chat for a.
I'd love to.
For a Topic Tuesday.
I would love to.
Yay.
Anytime.
All right. I'll send you a calendar request.
Okay. I'm in like Flynn.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right.